Hello, and welcome to Maximize Your Strengths with certified strengths coach, Alyssa Dare Nelson. In this culture focused on weakness fixing, Strengths Finder 2.0 is the answer to explosive business growth and strong relationships. It's time to maximize your strengths.
Well, hello. Welcome to episode 113 of Maximize Your Strengths. I'm your host, Alyssa Dare Nelson. This podcast is here to help you uncover, celebrate, and truly maximize your strengths, your personal superpowers. Our guest today is hysterical. He's lovely. He's unbelievably handsome. And I can't wait to introduce him to you. His name is David Ralph. And yes, as I said, extremely attractive. He's a podcast host, which means he stays behind the mic and not on video, even though he is so unbelievably attractive. He's got the top-ranked online show, Join Up Dots, where in each episode, he takes his guests on a journey to discover, following the words of the late Steve Jobs, from birth to today and back again. David Ralph joins up the dots of his guests' lives, highlighting their failures and successes with more than a few laughs in between as he leads them to the time travel section, the Sermon on the Mic, where they have the chance to speak to their younger selves and share advice that they've gained. I have been a guest on Join Up Dots, and it is such an incredible experience, and it really is fun to look back and speak to your younger self. So I would encourage you to get over there, listen to Join Up Dots, and go through the exercises yourself of talking to your younger self. This is a hugely powerful and inspirational show that has gained a massive audience in over 160 countries, and with its fun and quirky style, is one that is fresh, unique, and inspiring. David is an ex-corporate trainer with his wife, five kids, a grandson, a cat, and a snail that might actually be dead, but you know, who can tell? David, this is going to be an amazing conversation. I can't wait to introduce you to the Maximize Your Strengths world. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's lovely to be here. And can I say straight to the listeners, if you listen to that introduction and it seems seamless and professional, she's edited it. And so if it hasn't got 15 attractives and handsome in there, then there's something wrong with this show, because that was the most perfect introduction I've ever had, except you didn't end with the attractive and handsome bits. They were somewhere in the middle or at the beginning. People have forgotten that by now. Bring it to the end. Go again. Absolutely. The very last bit, bang, straight into it.
Oh my gosh. Can you guys see how much fun we're about to have? Yes. David is amazing because he is able to derail and poke fun at just about anybody. And in all of the best ways. I love that about you. I will have probably edited the intro
just a little bit.
Oh my gosh. So this is what maximizing our strengths is all about, ladies and gentlemen. It is about being willing to go out of your comfort zone. My elbows are sweating right now, David, from giggling already.
Can you get sweaty elbows?
Yeah, I need to straighten my elbows while we talk.
Yeah, I'll tell you something just before we get onto the show. How long, I got asked this at the dinner table the other day, and my daughter, who's 12, she leant over and she said this to me, and I almost choked on my sausage. And she said to me, Dad, she said, how long is your weenus? And I went, sorry? And she said, how long is your weenus? And on your elbow, you know that flabby bit of skin that you can stretch?
Oh, yeah.
That sort of like dangles down. That apparently is called your weenus. Now, I never knew that. So if you're ever in a situation when you're grappling for something to say, go for the weenus.
Oh, see, you learn something new every day. People thought they were turning in to learn about your superpowers and how they could maximize their own. And indeed, we're learning about weenuses.
And you know, they're all reaching out and tugging parts of their body now. They're all thinking, yeah, I wonder how long mine is.
That's right. Half of them are driving to work and the other half are running or doing the dishes. And they're like, oh, yeah, that is a little piece of skin there that's a little bit loose. Yeah. It's good.
If you are driving, put your hands out the window so it's like a sail just flapping along in the wind. You'll enjoy it.
Oh, can you guys guess what one of his top five are? I can tell you, it's got to be positivity, because that positivity brings all of that wild energy and also loves to make people laugh. You know, David, before we share what your top five are, because I want to keep everyone with bated breath here a little bit, what would you say is your one or maybe two superpowers, like, that you do better than anybody else?
One, I'm amazing in bed. No, I shouldn't really say that. Number one, I would say that it's just I can be myself. I can be myself. I used to be a corporate trainer, and I used to stand up doing these training courses, and most of them was very dry subjects on insurance and God knows what. And I used to be able to find fun ways and sort of engaging ways. So even if the people came out of it 2 hours later and didn't learn anything, at least they had a good time. So I think I can do that. I think I can make most subjects into some kind of form that whether somebody wants to learn, they will listen. And that works very well on a podcast. And I think the second thing is I've got an innate ability to connect with people on a very deep and personal nature. Even though, as I said to you, Alyssa, beforehand, I'm not a naturally sociable person. I don't like going into parties. I don't like sort of mingling and sort of that sort of chit-chat kind of stuff. But on a one-to-one basis, I think those two really work. I can really connect with somebody so that they feel like a friend and they're willing to share anything with me. And on the other side, I can make things engaging and entertaining. And as I say, that's really why my audience has gone up so much, because every show is going to be different from the time before.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because you have some of the same components in every single episode, but they are very, very different each time. I love listening to your show. It is super fun. And you do always learn something. As people look back on their lives and they're looking sort of 2020, at what lessons they wish they would have learned earlier, if any, right? Mm. You know, you figure out, you know, what were the pain points? What were the lessons that maybe other people can learn prior to making those mistakes? And I think that is a really powerful thing. So, yeah, you know, I think, David, one of the things that allows you to get that immediate connection with others is your ability and your willingness to be self-effacing and vulnerable. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I've always, in every single episode, I share more than I want to share about myself. Mm-hmm. And I look back on some of it and I think, oh, why did I share that? You know, was it needed? But of course, it may not have been needed in the conversation. But I think that a conversation really develops when there's three elements to it. Number one, you find your common ground. And so you talk in the third person. Oh, yeah, I remember when this happened to my mate. And then you go with yourself, and then the other person's heard two other stories, so they feel mm-hmm. duty bound to sort of add in. And if you go deeper and deeper and really share some sort of intimate stuff, and I've shared some stuff that my wife used to listen to my show, and she used to say, oh, why are you saying that? That's so personal to us, you know. And I go, I can't stop myself. I just have to say it. It's there. It's a brain blister. It's going to burst sometime, and boom, it's out there. But I do think that is the super talent once again. It's that ability to go, look, if I'm doing this, if I'm going to be on the microphone, if I'm going to be talking, I can't just let them be telling me the stuff. You know, I've got to tell them the stuff. And sometimes, Alyssa, as well, I do lie to make myself seem more windswept and interesting. You know, I've got hours of recording to fill up. So I do mention Katy Perry more times than I should do. But still, one day it's going to come true.
Okay, so I want to talk about Katy Perry in a moment here. But first, because I'm listening to how you interact, you know, what you do to really connect with your, not only your guest, but your audience, and I'm hearing a lot of your strengths sort of come through. So will you share with us what your top five StrengthsFinder themes are?
Yes, I will. Do you want a drum roll? That's good. That's good. You're very good with your mouth there. Right. Number one, futuristic. And when this first came out, if anyone out there hasn't done these Gallup StrengthsFinders, you answer, like, I don't know, 120 questions.
177.
Is that how many?
Yeah, it's crazy lots.
I did it a few years ago. And you answer them and you think, oh, this is easy. Bang, 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 bang. And then you sort of get into ones you think, oh, I think I've already answered this. And it's slightly different and it's a bit crazy. And when they first came out, the first one was futuristic. And I thought, I don't really understand what that is anyway. I was thinking like Star Trek Enterprise and stuff. And then I realized that is me. That's me. I spend all my time. I'm not interested remotely in going back in time, even though my show is about looking back and learning from the things. Everything is, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if we do this? And wouldn't it be great if we do that? Whoa. And everything is like futuristic, forward looking. Mm-hmm. So that is spot on. Number two is maximizer. Number three is belief. Four is positivity. And five is activator. Now, I would say out of those, when I started working on them, I went, oh, yeah, three of those are spot on. And the other two, I was thinking, oh, I'm not too sure. But if you get into the right environment, and this is where I think the StrengthsFinder is so brilliant, you realize that they are actually, they are right. But you've got to kind of find them in the right environment. Yeah. I used to work in banks in London. I used to work in insurance companies. And some of the kind of futuristic belief and positivity stuff wasn't required. And it actually
it wasn't even allowed, I imagine.
It wasn't allowed. No, that's right. And I used to get pulled into meetings and go, oh, David, you're such a maverick. You think you should be doing this and you should be doing that. I go, no, I'm just doing what I think I should be doing. But once you get into that environment that works well, then it's brilliant. And it makes things so easy. So now I'm a podcast host. And that's one thing I've only really within the last year accepted that I am, and I will say it again, I'm a podcast host. Those five things really become powerful and it makes your job easy. And you kind of almost think, why the hell didn't I do this years ago? But of course, you got to go through the journey. You got to sort of grow into it and stuff. But if you can find your five strengths and find an environment that embraces those five strengths, you really never have to work again, as far as I'm concerned.
That is spot on. And this is part of the reason I really, really love the StrengthsFinder, is that when you're not allowed to let your strengths contribute in the way that they're naturally wired to, you just kind of be like, and it's grunt work, right? I mean, it really is hard to do. And, you know, your positivity was one way that you could really unleash in those trainings. And part of the reason you loved it so much, because you could see the glow in people's eyes and the laughter, and they walked out of the room. And you had said, even if they didn't learn anything, but you know for a fact that they learned much better because you brought your positivity forward. You brought that energy, you brought that humor. And in doing so, I actually think that was a little strengths baby between maximizer and positivity. So when our strengths come together and they blend, they make a whole new strengths baby. And you knew that the way that they would get the most out of that training is to bring that humor, maximizer, positivity brought together, right?
Half right. I think the other half was actually I did it to entertain myself. Because with training courses, you have to do them time and time and time again. And I used to think, God, you know, I used to go into some training courses myself and sit there, and somebody would come along, put a PowerPoint on the wall, and then hand out slides on sheets of paper and basically read what I could read on the screen. And I used to think, how can you put up with this? And so I used to just try to entertain myself by doing, you know, I did a money laundering course. I was an expert in money laundering. And I did it like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I did all this, you know, 50-50, you got to call a friend. And, you know, it was all that kind of stuff. And it's gone down in history. People 20 years later come up to me and go, you wasn't that bloke who did that, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I go, yeah, I was, you know. But I think it was me. I had to entertain myself. I had to keep that energy up. And I can't do something that just same old all the time. And once again, getting back to podcasting, that's what I love about it, because every conversation, even though it's on a similar theme, is different. Uh-huh. And I actually feel myself get inspired halfway through. And sometimes you start talking to someone and you think, oh, I feel a bit flat here. But then you hit something and you think, oh, here it is, and woof, and away you go, and you kind of end up in love.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. You and I share three of our top five. Did you know that?
Let me guess. I bet yours is organizational skills. Introduction reading, is that one of them? And podcast editing or non-editing, as you'll be.
That's right.
I bet yours is going to be belief. I reckon you're full of belief, positivity, and I reckon you're an activator.
So I am absolutely an activator. Positivity. Futuristic is also my number one. Belief is there. It's at number eight for me, but not in my top five. But I definitely have very strong values. I'm very, very purpose-driven.
Why have you not got belief? I don't see. Anybody who steps into an environment like you have and has created a rocking and rolling profile has to have that belief, because otherwise you wouldn't take that first step.
Yeah, well, this is super fascinating, actually. And it took me a long time to really figure it out and to become comfortable with sort of pushing this message out into the world. So this message that I really feel like has sort of divinely given to me is to help people really not just know cerebrally, you know, mentally that, yes, I'm unique and yada, yada. Yeah, I got DNA that's different than everyone else's, but that they truly have unique gifts and a unique spin on the world that nobody else has. That not only are you one in 7 billion that are on this planet right now, no one else has ever been like you and no one else ever will be like you. So somebody asked me once, hey, well, so do you do a lot of public speaking then? Because you've got great energy, positivity.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden, well, no, not really. And they're like, what are you talking about? Why not? And the reason was that I didn't want to be up on the stage because I felt like it would be self-serving and it didn't fit me. Because I didn't want it to be about me. I just wanted to push this message out. And so it felt like getting up on the stage would be sort of an overuse of the theme of significance, which is really wanting to leave a legacy, et cetera, et cetera. And I think significance is down at number 14, 15, 16 for me, somewhere in there. But the realization was that it's positivity futuristic. Like I have this future view of the world that is almost utopic, right? And that I don't believe is going to happen in my lifetime, but is possible. And it's possible for us to person by person strive towards that, which is this, if I think I can stand up, if I believe I can stand up and say, I am so awesome. Like there's nobody like me and I am freaking awesome. And then be able to turn to the person next to them and go, and you know what? You are freaking awesome in a whole different way. Now we can let go of the arrogance of it, right? And the fear that we'd be perceived as arrogant and just go, wow. And we all burn brighter. All of our candles burn brighter. But that dream is a futuristic positivity strengths baby. And so once I realized it was that and not some weird, uncomfortable expression of significance, all of a sudden now I feel compelled to get on the stage and talk about it versus, you know, feeling like, well, maybe I shouldn't because it would be self-serving. So understanding what was actually in play there really helped me to move that purpose forward. And do I think that belief plays into that? That theme plays into that? Absolutely. But it's primarily that positivity futuristic.
I think you were just a scaredy cats. I think that's all it was. You can give me the biggest speech you want to have, but at the end of the day, I think you was a bit scared. And I think it's for all of us to make a brighter day. You know, we are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. So if you're in that situation when you've got that ability to stand up and maybe shine a light on somebody that's sitting there, you know, not willing to do that, it's your job, it's your responsibility to stand up there and shed that light. So I think you were talking a load of rubbish there, Alyssa. It was a lot of big words, but ultimately I think you were scaredy pants and you didn't think at that moment in your life that you had enough value to warrant it. Now that's a totally different thing.
It is and it isn't. So for me, when and this is how I know a lot of other people are as well, is that when you can understand where those fears come from, then you can work through them. It's much more difficult just to sort of break through the brick wall than to go, oh, well, this is why this wall is here. And now I can push through, because there is absolutely a component of, will people like me, right? We're human beings. So we want to be accepted into the tribe. We don't want to be ostracized and all of those other, you know, things from, you know, way back in caveman time, where if we were ostracized from the community, we were dead. said, right? So that is still with us. And of course, we want to be accepted and we want to see our presence here on earth as mattering. So everyone's got that to a large extent because it's human survival. But then as you understand how you're wired, now you can go, oh, well, duh, that's why that's there. And now you can start to work through it. And for me, I need that rational approach to some of these blocks in order to move through them faster. Because I have activator, I want to move through them fast. And if I can understand it rationally, now it's easier for me to move forward. So you're absolutely right. Fear was at the base of that. But once I understood why the fear was there, it was much easier for me to move through. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I'll tell you a story about myself. Last year, I've always been known, I've had a lovely head of hair, beautiful head of hair. And last year, it just started dropping out really quickly. And I was thinking, this is mad, you know, this shouldn't happen. And I used to wake up in the morning and I could feel like, you know, when you're just sort of coming out of your sleep and you're not awake, but you're kind of aware of the environment you're in, and that my stomach was churning all the time. And I couldn't understand it. So I went to the doctors and I had all these tests and stuff. And he said, you're stressed. And I went, no, I'm not stressed. I said, believe me, I hardly work for a living now. I'm not stressed. He said, you're stressed. And I wasn't having any of it. But now I look back on it now and I was totally stressed. And one of the things I realized now was as my show was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, even though it was everything I wanted, I started to get scared of the success. And I can only admit that now. At the time, I would go, no, that's rubbish. You know, who would be scared of success? But I realized because it was getting more and more listeners, every time I opened my mouth, ultimately somebody's life could be screwed up. You know, you could say something just being genuinely honest of your opinion, and then you could get an email and I go, oh, I took your advice, I heard on podcast episode 62, you know, and it didn't work. And I started to realize, oh my god, you know what I was saying. And I think for a period of me, I went slightly into my shell, and you can listen to it on the shows that they dipped because I was kind of double thinking about what I had to say. Now I think to myself, I can't hold back. I've got to just be myself and let it go. And fortunately, my show's going up again, which is amazing. But yeah, I lost my hair. It's all coming back now lovely. I felt really, really stressed. And I actually had to disconnect from everything and leave it away for about a month or so. And I didn't. I didn't turn on the computer. And I was known as the podcaster who never podcasts because I had such a sort of tank of shows. I just let it go on sort of automatic pilot and started walking away. So I understand that fear. And fear can get you in any area. And it's all right for us saying, oh, I'll just get up on stage and just do this, just do that. Every single person has a different Chucky running around in them, that little thing that is sort of that frightens you. And for me, it was success. I wasn't used to success of that sort of level. Now I think, yeah, okay, I'm aware of it and I'm going to sort of work through it. But I can still feel that. I can still feel that. Have I got the value to provide to the world? Does that make sense, Alyssa?
Yeah, it totally does. And people focus on the fear of failure because, you know, we fail often, but fear of success equally holds us back as well. And one of the other fears that I have had of success is, can I sustain it? You know, can I keep it up? Can I continue? What if this is all I got? What if I can't, you know, keep up this higher level of success? What if I hire on these people to help me and then I'm not making enough money to sustain them, right? And that's another big fear of success is if I get there, can I sustain it? And, you know, that's a legitimate question to ask because you do need to have some things in place to be able to carry that on. So in some respects, you can have that conversation with fear and go, okay, do you have something legitimate to share here? Or is it a bunch of rubbish?
You know? Yeah, because I saw Elton John being interviewed and I thought it was fascinating. And somebody said, Elton, you're coming up 70 now. You know, are you going to give up? And he said, no, I'm going to slow down. He said, but you've got to remember, he said, there's people that rely on me. You know, there's staff, there's PAs and stuff. It's not just me banging on a piano every now and again. There's tour managers. And if I don't do this, all these people have suddenly lost their income. And I thought, this is amazing, you know, that somebody like Elton John, that you think he just makes up a song, sits on a stage, there's an industry running around him, and he has those same issues of, God, one day I'm going to stop, and what's going to happen to all these people? So I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So the question is, and actually I have a friend who does a podcast about exiting businesses, sort of a fascinating podcast, but it's a little bit different in a service-based industry. You know, let's take Elton John. Let's take Alyssa Dare Nelson. Let's take David Ralph. You know,
almost the same. We're kindred spirits, all three of us.
Yes, almost the same. Let's take Katy Perry, because I do need to ask you a question or two about Katy Perry here. But when we stop, you know, our brand is us. So what is the exit plan to allow for the legacy to carry on, or does it just stop? Does Join Up Dots eventually just stop producing, or, you know, what is your future plans?
I think my legacy is through my kids, to be honest. I was saying to them the other day, I was walking along. We had a funeral in the family recently. And I was thinking that this guy has been on this planet and kind of just gone. And there's not much to say that he's been around. And as they say, you die twice. You die once when your body dies. And then the last person that actually knew you personally dies. You're kind of gone. And everything's kind of third hand after that. And I said to my wife, I said, you realize, you know, my legacy is if I die now, my kids could press a button and hear my voice, and they could hear hundreds of hours of episodes, you know. And she said, well, how do I keep that going? And I said, oh, blimey, I better jot it down so that you know how to sort of keep the website alive and stuff. But my legacy isn't that, which I thought it was. It's that my kids now are realizing that there's a life away from going into an office and sitting there doing a job that they don't want to do. And all of them are, they're so creative with their time. My daughter is doing dancing and drama, and she's really focused in on her next performance and stuff. And my son, he will probably end up being a TV presenter or a public speaker or something. He's very, very good on that. And I think the true legacy is how we follow on for the next generation. Our energies, are we shining that light, as I say, brighter on our family? And we can't worry about anybody else. You know, I just want my kids to at least know that they can have a life that they can earn but enjoy at the same time. And for many, many years, that wasn't the case with me. I'd go to a job, I'd get through the day, and I'd come home on the train, and then I'd do it again the next day. And because my generation, following my mum and dad, that was what they expected. Oh, you got to get a job. You know, you're lucky. You're in a job. It's job for life and stuff. But now the true legacy is that ability to say to people, no, if you can believe, if you can dream, if you can be creative, if you can upskill yourself, if you're willing to do a side hustle while, you know, you're doing something else, then you can create something remarkable. And we've got this ability in the internet now to connect across the globe, find customers, build businesses, interact, Facebook Live, podcasting, or whatever you want to do, you can do it. And I think that is our true legacy. And you are shining a big light, Alyssa, for what you're doing for your family and the world. And hopefully in a small way, I'm doing the same.
I agree. With this day and age, there really is a place for the value you bring to the world. No matter who you are, you can bring a unique value that honestly you could create a business out of, and you don't have to do it perfectly. It does take some skill. It takes, you know, screwing up a whole lot of times so that you can go, oh, well, that didn't work. I'm going to try it this way, but it's possible. And this is what I love about uncovering people's superpowers. And I choose the word superpowers because it is that, you know, that Superman or the Spider-Man, like the weird thing that nobody else can do, but hey, you can. And those superpowers, those superheroes, they have their own flaws, right? This isn't about being a perfect person. In fact, it's about not being a perfect person, not being well-rounded, because that's why we need each other. You know, David, you have different things to bring to the world than I have, than Jack and Jill and Susie and, you know, Janice and, you know, all those other people have to bring to the world. And this means that, hey, we can lean on one another. We can learn from one another. And we don't have to be shy about, hey, I'm really great here. This is what I can offer. And it doesn't have to be from a place of arrogance, because you also honor the other person. brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. And I
tell you what, that was passion. I was sitting there thinking, I hope the listeners out there are really listening, because I could hear you getting excited as you was talking. And for most people, they don't get that excitement in their job. Yeah. And I think that's what we're talking about, those moments when you really can't get enough and you want to tell people and you want to wave your weenus in the air and show everybody, you know. I think that is what people need to realize, that they can wake up every morning and be disappointed that they're wasting time not at work. Do you know what I mean? Instead of going to work just to get back so they could do anything they want, thinking that this is the fun time, playing. You know, just quickly, because I know it's your show. Yeah. I heard James Dyson, the vacuum cleaner person, being interviewed the other day. And the interviewer said to him, you know, when it was all going a bit crappy for you at the beginning and you were inventing all these things that nobody wanted, you know, who did you surround yourself with? You know, and he said, I didn't really. He said, because I love failure. He said, because failure is fascinating to me. You know, why did it fail? You know, how can I make it better? What caused that? And I listened to him and I thought, that is it. That is it. In a nutshell, you've got to accept failure. You've got to find the thing that you want to do. You've got to be hugely passionate about it. You've got to upskill like crazy, but be aware that the next failure is going to be coming along the block, you know, and just keep on going, keep on going. And if he can do that and turn it into something, and he said, you know, I'm nothing special. It's just that I am, you know, persistent.
Yeah.
But persistence with passion, and that really came out in your voice, and it excited me. And so I had to take control of your show and summarize it for the listeners.
I love it. And I appreciate that. Edison was like that too, right? I mean, that's one of the, you know, we wouldn't have electricity. Someone would have probably figured it out at some point. But the light bulb, he tried 10,000 times different ways. And he also fell in love with failure as, well, that was, hey, here's proof that that's one more way that doesn't work. So now I can look at another way. And if we can embrace that piece as being just a part of the process, one of my favorite books is The Alchemist, David. I think I shared that with you before, because it's all about the journey. And, you know, this boy, have you read that book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. So it's a story. It's a storybook, and I don't usually read storybooks, but it's a story about a boy who's on this mission to find this treasure. And along the way, he gets derailed. And, you know, at one point, he's working in a crystal shop of all things. He's a shepherd. And, you know, so I know this sounds like a really odd story, but it's so good. And in the end, he does find his treasure, because he allows himself to be on the journey and feel it and learn all the lessons along the way. And I think that's so important to our lives, is just being willing to, what is the lesson in this experience and this experience? And it all blends into, all leads into what our unique superpowers are that we get to give to the world.
I think that's absolutely true. And for every person out there, you know, you've lived this life for 10, 15, 20, 35 years or whatever, and you've had experiences every single day. And if you take yourself out of the, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do it, you know what you like, and mm-hmm. you know what you don't like, and you know what you're good at, and you know what the things that are really easy. But it's the things that are really easy that you will run away from, because you think, I can't do that, you know, I can just do it like that. Well, you know, who's going to pay for that? But you've got to look at that. And that guy was willing to go through the journey and find his gold. Mm-hmm. But all of us know our gold. My gold simply is opening my mouth and talking. Mm-hmm. How easy is that, really? You know, we've all got mouths, we can all open and we can all talk about. But put it in a sort of right environment, it is gold. And but I still struggle with it, and I still think, oh, it's not a proper day's work doing this. Isn't a proper day's work. You know, I used to really slog it, and now I spend time down the pub and mowing the lawn and then whizzing up to my office, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But the journey is there for you to fine tune yourself, literally. And right. It's like having a block of ice, and we all start as a block of ice, and somebody snips away, and then suddenly at the end we're an angel and we can flap our wings and we can fly and live the life we want. That was beautiful, wasn't it?
That was incredibly beautiful. I got tingles
down myself, and it was actually me talking. It was like an out-of-body experience. I was actually listening to myself thinking, he's good, I'm going to have to listen to him.
That's one of my favorite things. Occasionally, I'll say something brilliant. And I'll listen back and I'll go, oh my goodness, that was a really good point. I hope that people listen to that point.
Message is in the telling, isn't it?
Yeah, if you talk long enough, ladies and gentlemen, eventually something brilliant will come out of your mouth. Oh my goodness. Well, David, thank you so much. This was such a fun and high energy conversation, and I'm so appreciative every time that I get to talk to you all the way across the pond. My stomach hurts because I've been laughing, and I feel excited and ready to move on with the rest of my day. And I hope, as you're listening, that you have felt the exact same way and that you can now go on with the rest of your day feeling inspired and really ready to dig into what is that thing, what is that superpower that you need to unleash. If you need help with it, you can certainly contact me. I am here to help. I want you to get over and I want you to listen to Join Up Dots. You can go to joinupdots.com. That's where you'll find David and his podcast. Just, I so appreciate, I say this every episode, but I really, really mean this from the absolute depth of my heart. Thank you for spending time with us today. I know that you could be spending time listening to and doing a whole zillion other things, and you chose to listen to this episode, and I am so incredibly grateful, and I hope it added value to your world. I hope you enjoyed it as much as David and I clearly enjoyed our conversation together. Again, go to joinupdots.com, and you can also go to strengthspodcast.com/113, which is the number of this episode, and you can find all of his information there. As always, if this episode was valuable to you, please, please, please share it with a friend and join us in the Maximize Your Strengths Facebook community. There, we focus on doing more of what you're great at, really recognizing and embracing your strengths, truly living in your superpowers. Head over there. You can go to daretosucceed.com/MYS, and it'll take you directly there. That's D-A-I-R-E, the number 2, succeed.com/MYS, and join in. Remember, David, remember this. You are uniquely poised and wired for success. As Donald Clifton said, your weaknesses will never develop, while your strengths will develop infinitely. Bye for now.